Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast for July 27th and July 23rd. This is Dr. John Stamey live from the sun and fun capital of the world, as it is again, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Beautiful weather, lots of folks down here. We're just having a great time. Regardless of what else is going on in the rest of the world, we're having a super time and beautiful weather, nice people. So we're just excited about being in Myrtle Beach today. Tonight, our co-hosts, first of all, from the man in Hollywood, Devin Tate. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, John. Thanks for having me, and it's good to be here with everybody.
Glad you're here. So you were giving us the quick rundown about Hollywood and Vine before when we were in the green room before the show. So it looks like Hollywood's going to be shut back down again.
Yeah, most of LA I think is going to be shut down even tighter than it is right now. They already shut down all the bars and all the, and you can't eat inside a restaurant. You can only eat at a restaurant if they have an outdoor patio right now. So we'll see what happens here, but it's still pretty quiet here, and it's actually no traffic, so that's the one good benefit if you're trying to get somewhere. It's pretty easy right now.
Well, that's good. Well, we're so glad to have you here. Stay safe over there in Hollywood. And from the murder capital of the world, Harlan, Kentucky, it's Tony Filosi. Tony, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm looking forward to this show because I have many, many questions for Papa Stroh. Many questions.
Yes, and speaking of the gentleman, our guest of honor tonight, he's not a co-host tonight, he's our guest of honor, one and only from Skull Mountain, parts unknown and everywhere else, Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, Papa Stroh?
Great to be here with you all.
Oh, we're glad to have you here. How's everything in Parts Unknown? Everybody always wants to know where Parts Unknown is. Can you describe for us? Terrible. I've always wanted to ask that.
Well, they don't call it Parts Unknown for nothing, so it's pretty much unknown.
Okay.
Unknown parts.
All right. that's a good answer. I didn't know what the answer was. It's pretty much unknown parts. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I remember El Lobo was there.
It's just like great books and novels and movies. Always leave it to your imagination what Parts Unknown may be. So, one's version of Parts Unknown may be different to another, right? So,
mm-hmm. That is exactly right. Well, we're glad to have you as our guest. The reason we've got you as our guest tonight, and it looks like the queen of ScaryCast has arrived. I know she was a bit under the weather, but she has made it a point to be here tonight. Hey, Robin, how are you doing?
I'm good, sweetie. Just had a hard time getting phoned in tonight.
Well, that's okay. We're glad you're here. And so I was getting ready to ask Papa Stroh the question of the hour. The question is, Papa Stroh, where did this great character of yours come from? And did it evolve in any way from the maestro? So would you give us the long and the short of how Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling, came about? Great character. People love it. They really do.
Would anyone that's followed my maestro character in WCW would know that during the latter part of my run, I had pretty much a dark side to the character, kind of like what I originally envisioned the maestro to be, more the fan of the opera-ish type persona, where there were certain things that would set the maestro off, like bad music or whatever, where the bad side would kind of emerge, if you will. And I just basically took that side of the maestro and like took my deep hidden love for the old school horror sci-fi genre growing up as a kid and just really emphasized on that aspect of the character and persona. And thus, that and studying through several people in the wrestling business that I kind of admired that kind of went that route too, like Kevin Sullivan, And, you know, Uncle Terry Funk at one point showed that crazy, maniacal side of him and the wrestling industry, and then combined that with the love for the horror sci-fi genre I grew up watching that would scare me as a kid. I was like, well, you know, if it would scare me, I would try to emphasize that with the audience, too, that were fascinated with the horror sci-fi. So thus, Papa Stroh was born, where Papa Stroh is like an avenging spirit. And powers are given to him by the souls of lost children to seek vengeance and all the evil in the world. So say, and then Papa Stroh has an array of different powers he gets from the souls of lost children, and makes friends with the most with the freaks and the forces of nature, if you will.
and your own scary cast.
Yeah, so yeah. And you know, I mean, and then talking about but he avenges all the evil in the world, and in his in his mind, Papa Stroh is doing what needs to be done, doing justice and other, and people's opinions of him vary more or less. You know, some people think he's always doing great, others think, you know, he's all bad and all this, but in his mind, he's trying to eradicate evil in the world through the power of souls of lost children that gives him the power through nature and other supernatural forces to do so.
Exactly. That's
hence,
a little bit of the story I've heard
Dorothy
from you.
Comes really in. Cool. Dorothy is a representation of the souls of lost children that give Papa Stroh the power to seek out all the evil in the world and to kind of give them the dose of their own medicine, per se.
And she has actually done that a time or two, hasn't she?
Oh, she's the life of the party, Dorothy. Yeah. And she makes friends all over the place. I mean, cats love her. I mean, I saw her in a tree making friends with an owl one night. You know, yeah, she's quite the riot.
I'm sure, and I think she met. This is one of the funny stories. One of the Briscoe brothers she got to meet at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and I believe he was knocked off his feet. Was he not?
Oh, it was just him. It was like a whole bunch of WWE Hall of Famers were sitting at the same table, and he looked at him and he fell on top of Jimmy Hart, on top of Slaughter, on top of Patterson. I mean, and you had Howard Finkel there. I mean, it was like a domino effect. It was hysterical. And she had her. I made sure she had her own plate and own seat and the table with everybody. It was great. And she got like selfies and cameos with different people, and got a picture taken with Sabu and some of the wrestlers there, and La Flecha from Mexico, and got to play some slots in Vegas. I mean, she loves to travel too. Oh my God, never a dull moment.
I know. I'll tell you what. One time, you and I were at a Comic-Con. We were at X-Con in Myrtle Beach. And you had to take a quick necessary break, and you left Dorothy with me, and you said, please take good care of her. And I stood there with my hand on her shoulder, and a number of people came by, looked at me, looked at Dorothy, went, and left. A couple of people actually thought Dorothy was pretty cool.
Well, see, here's the thing. Back to what I alluded to before, everybody has their own interpretation of what good and evil is, right? And we can go into a lot of different directions on that topic. But, you know, what may some people may find Dorothy repulsive, others find her beautiful. So, you know, I mean, that is all in the one's interpretation. And the thing is, with the souls of lost children that give Papa Stroh power to see the evil in the world, I mean, that's not too far-fetched from reality. I mean, you have bad things happen to children all around the world, being taken from their families, and different things going on, like you hear on the news and you hear behind the scenes, and you know, this is it's a real life situation, and they're looking, and the souls of these children, they're looking for an avenger, for what happened to them and their families, and it's kind of like art imitates life, if you will, so.
Yes, it really does. Now, I know that you have a number of roles in motion picture and television and all that wonderful stuff. Has Dorothy had her first starring role yet?
I was going to ask you that. Has she made her film debut?
Well, she's done some cameos. She did a cameo in the Dust series, Supernatural series I was in on season two, where my character, known as the Chief, unveils her in his office, and she has the soul of one of the other main characters, Mal's past life persona, Elizabeth, that lives inside of Dorothy, if you will. So she made her, got to do a cameo, and there's talk of her reappearing in season five after, or rather season four, rather, because she's going to be mentioned in season four. And, well, so I mean, there's a possibility, the director's contemplating bringing her back to the series, so that's pretty exciting. And she was in my documentary course, The Maestro, that was filmed. So, I mean, yeah, she's had a couple of appearances, and there was a talk of doing a film solely about her, which I'm still trying to get together. So whether it be a feature or a short or what have you, that kind of gives, you know, be about her and, you know, where she's from and what all she can do, more or less. So it's pretty exciting. So I'm still trying to get all that together.
Well, that really is. That's great. Now, one thing, you mentioned Dusk. And we normally, when we're talking, you normally take about 30 seconds to talk about Dusk. Can you give us that's a wonderful series. It started out just very small out there in Charlotte with director Ronald Rossman and about a camera is what it started with. Now it's a bit of a major production with you as the star. It's got a little bit of history to it. Do you mind giving us a little bit of the rundown of Dusk and its history? I think people would enjoy hearing about the series that you're starring in, and you're on Avail TV. You're on a lot of different places, Roku and everything. So do you mind giving us the long and down and dirty on Dusk and how it's going?
Well, it's going great. We've done three seasons so far. Dusk series is pretty much about there's tension within the supernatural realm. Part of the supernatural phenomena want to save mankind and protect mankind, whereas there's another side, the supernatural of them, that wants to do away with mankind. And it's a lot of button heads. Just like, you have vampires, werewolves, celestials, witches. In my case, character I portray as the Chief, he's the new face of death, the new Grim Reaper, if you will. And my past history, my character is, I used to be a pirate known as Cornelius. That I was a real bad apple, kind of like in Blackbeard type level revelry.
Yeah.
And which I sailed on a ship made of solely human bones, basically. And I get into it with the Grim Reaper and one. So I took up his mantle as death, and that pretty much caused all kinds of mischief, in which Majestic, which is the organization that kind of keeps all the supernatural phenomena in check, they put Cornelius in charge as the Chief just to keep him out of trouble and to keep all the supernatural phenomena in line, if you will. And and there's a war going on, a battle going on with the supernatural phenomena. Like I say, it's kind of pretty much divided. And the Chief is kind of like the antagonist, is kind of playing both sides, if you will, one of the main antagonists in the series. So you really don't know what direction he'll go, because the Chief is like the ultimate politician, in which he'll try to deviate whatever he thinks is best for him, more or less. I mean, but Death is just like anything else. Death's a real jerk. He doesn't really care who he makes friends with, who he doesn't. So you'll see a lot of smart aleck remarks from the Chief, and it's real devious in his actions. So yeah, he's pretty much one of the ultimate villains in the series.
All right, well, I know you've got a lot of fans. Now, if you wanted to tell me, Dr. John, the best and easiest way to see an episode of Dusk, I mean, first of all, you're filming season four right now, correct? Or you're in the process of it?
Yeah, we'll be later on this
year.
I want
to watch the other season.
Yeah, we'll be filming season four later on this year. But you can check out now, even though Dust Accessories still have our own Facebook page and YouTube channel, which all I got to do is add DUSK series to both Facebook.com and YouTube.com. They are also, if you want to see like the Majestic Cut versions, like the really good versions of this, you can watch them on the Vail TV with VailFilms.com, A-V-A-I-L Films, altogether.com. And they're syndicated through Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV as well. But all three seasons will be on the Vail TV, but you can still watch them through, per se, YouTube and Facebook. So.
Oh, okay.
It should be
well,
on there.
That's great.
So
that would be the best thing to do. Yeah, the best thing to do probably would be to go to YouTube and type in Dusk Series, all one word,
yeah,
correct?
Yes, they have their own YouTube channel, Dusk Series.
Exactly. Well, that is something we definitely will want to do. I think everybody should check out a couple of do you, because I mean, I know a lot of stars don't necessarily have a favorite episode, but do you happen to have a favorite episode of the ones that you've been in?
Oh, quite a few, actually. I think there's one in season two called Matter of Life and Death, where I get an argument with the angel, known as Maddie Hale, and by the end of the episode, I'm fighting two nocturne thugs, which they don't realize I'm deaf, right? Until after they beat me up a bat, I get up and take my gloves off, and the character, I have to wear the gloves because whatever I touch dies. So I have to wear the gloves, right? But I pretty much take the gloves off after they do that and just kind of take them out one by one. There's one, I think, in season three where I get into a major confrontation with two of the main characters, James Hurley, who plays Fenton, who has a Sybil thing going on. He's got split personality thing happening, so he's got like so many different personalities living inside him, kind of like the movie Split, if you will. So he's a very unique character. And then you have Mal, of course. She used to like the witch celestial that I allude to trying to protect, but really I'm just kind of using her for my own gain, per se. But there is a kind of a connection between Mal and Chief, where even though Chief is up to no good, he in some weird way of fashion, he actually legitimately cares about her, almost like in a father figure type deal. So it's a love hate relationship going on there, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
there's quite a few interesting stories within the series itself, but there's a lot of great characters. You have Osiris. Osiris is kind of like our Jon Snow, in which all of us are kind of like diabolical. But Jon Snow in Game of Thrones is like he's the only real good guy in the series, right? Where Osiris is this pretty much the only really good guy in our series, more or less. So, but the show is always keeping you guessing. You never know what turns our character is going to do. It keeps it fresh, keeps it exciting, and always introducing new characters as well. So it's such a great series. I'm just really blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you got a great director and producer, Ronald Rossman. He's done a lot of things. Mm-hmm. He and I have done several projects together. And what's it like working with him? I know it's fun. Ron's a barrel of laughs all the time, at least around me.
Oh, he's great and very creative. Great creative. And he's always looks like for the cast and crew. And he's the mastermind behind the Dust series. He put it all together. And it's just amazing, the story. He texts and he's always coming up with ideas, and he's always, literally always thinking of new ideas, even the wee hours of the night. So we're just excited from episode to episode because it's always a journey, you know, being on set with Ron. And I'm also doing another film with him coming up soon that he's directing called The Devil's Daughter, which is a Harlequin origin story, which I'll be portraying Dr. Jeremy Arkham, who runs the Arkham Asylum. And any of you Batman fans out there will know exactly who I'm talking about. So, but this is how Harley got to be Harlequin, more or less. So it's a very, very intriguing story. You have all the Batman Easter eggs. You have Batman and Joker and Poison Ivy and Scarecrow, all that good stuff. So really excited to be part of it.
Do you have Egghead?
Never know.
That's Vincent Price. I love Egghead.
Yeah.
Sorry, Head.
It's kind of funny.
Maybe
I'm going to be in a horror movie end of this year, beginning next year, called Stench of Iniquity. And I'm portraying the ancient vampire named Abba. And most of my outfit is pretty much my Papa Stroh outfit.
Okay.
Except I'm being a vampire. In the film, so it was pretty exciting to do.
Well, that's great. Now, where will that be shot? What city
done.
Or do you know?
It's already done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like in real deep in South Carolina. I mean, you're in the backwoods. But it'll be airing even the next end of this year, beginning of next year. The director's just got to put all of it together right now, but. I've shot all my scenes, so I'm good.
Well, that's great. It's always good to get big projects like that finished. I know it is. Now, you do know that everybody recognizes you as Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. You got four fans of yours on here. Tony Filosi, before the show started, said, John, I have got a couple questions for Papa Stroh. Do you mind fielding some of those questions from your luminous past?
Not at all. Ask away.
All right, Tony.
This has to do with Dusty Rhodes, but what was it like working or knowing Dusty Rhodes? I'm a huge wrestling fan anyways, and I grew up watching the American Dream. And could you please do a Dusty Rhodes imitation? I love that stuff.
Oh, man. Well,
and
I met Dusty.
Excuse me for fanboying out. But anyway, I just love it.
Oh, it's quite all right. Absolutely. Dusty, man, I met Dusty years ago. Matter of fact, he was the first one to introduce me to Andre the Giant down in Florida. And at the time, I thought he saved my life because Andre just got upset from being the Bionic Sasquatch in the $6 Million Man series. And he was pulling up the parking lot. His head was literally above his sunroof. Car door. And he parked the car, and he's like walking towards me. I'm so scared I can't move, right? And Dusty comes over to me, and he looks at Andre. He said, "Hey, kid, don't worry about a thing. Andre, it's cool, baby. Say hello, Andre." And Andre took his big paw down to him where I was at, and I was like, "How do you do?" Right? And I'm looking up at Andre. I'm like, "Fine, sir." His hand literally covered my—I couldn't even see my hand. I mean, his hand engulfed it. You know what I mean? But yeah, Dusty. I bumped him off and on quite a bit through the years, and then when I broke into wrestling, he was a big supporter of mine, and he always helped me out, gave me advice, and. Matter of fact, he tried to bring me in a few times in WCW in the 90s, earlier 90s, and I almost was going to be in WCW earlier, but then I did. It was just George III, and they wanted to start a feud with myself and Mark Merrill, who was doing the Johnny B. Bad thing at the time. He was managed by Teddy Long. And him and William Regal were big supporters of me, and and then, you know, I went, it didn't, something went out one other, and it just didn't really work out at the time. But later on, when I finally got signed, he really put the good word for me for Bischoff with the whole Maestro thing. And like, it's like 30 years, he's been such a great supporter. And a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of your biggest stars in the wrestling business, I mean, he was a big advocate for him behind the scenes, and not only the big stars you see, but like a lot of the great events, like the Great American Bash. I mean, that was his baby, and he would work on a lot of pay-per-views like the Battle Bowls and the Starcades and all that. I mean, he was really great on production behind the scenes. So, I mean, he had such a creative mind. And even those last days with the NXT, and, I mean, he helped guys like Seth Rollins and a lot of your WWE stars. They still credit Dusty for helping them out. So Dusty was just amazing. I mean, nothing but love for Dusty, man. And as far as impersonations, let me give you a little bit of taste here. Yeah, this is the Megan Green, the power, the mother hour, too sweet to be sour, I'm pulling if you will, baby. I make your knee freeze, the liver quiver, and your back whack, tell it like it is, and pulling if you will. Yeah.
Awesome.
No one like Dusty, man.
That is great. When did that rant happen, Papa Stro? I don't remember that.
Oh, quite. That's some of his early stuff over the years. Back when he was feuding with Superstar Billy Graham back in the day, and back in the days with him and Black Jack Mulligan tagging, and feuding Kevin Sullivan in Florida, which Kevin Sullivan was another big. You know, I mentioned him earlier on the podcast. He was a big influence on later, especially with the Papa Stro thing, because I really looked up to him, and he was another guy that was just a master psychologist, kind of like Jake Roberts was, a master psychologist. And he had everybody fooled. I mean, he had people in the locker room convinced he was the devil, right? And all he was a guy from Boston that liked to fish. But he was that good at what he did, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Alice Cooper. You know, everybody thought, oh, he was so evil and all that, but he's just a rich kid playing golf during the day. Does his performances at night. That's just his deal. He's very theatrical and really good at what he does. So,
yeah, those guys really were wonderful back in the day when I was watching it as a kid. And we have a new guest joining us who I will greet, and then after we speak with that guest, we'll talk to Devin and Robin and see what they've got for Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, the one and only, when it comes to area code 479, it must be Granny Hulkster. How are you doing tonight, Granny?
Well, Dr. John, I'm well. I just wanted to take a few minutes to call in because I saw where Stro was going to be your guest tonight for Scary Cast, and I'm getting ready to do my podcast shortly, but you were talking about four fans. You better add five fans to that list and add Granny to that list of fans of
Papa
Stro.
Oh,
Granny.
He's one of the hugest fans.
I mean, you know, so, and Dr. John, I got to tell you really quick, Granny got to go to a wrestling show Saturday at Wrestling for a Cause, and I was so excited. I got to holler at all the bad guys, and it felt so good.
That is great. That was your first wrestling event
since March.
Coronavirus.
Since March.
Yes.
Since March.
Wow.
So,
I know you were. Now, what city was brave enough to have that?
Wagner, Oklahoma.
Really? Do you know what? I have a friend
yeah.
that lives in Oklahoma, and she said they really have not done anything as far as to stop the spread of the coronavirus. She said it's unbelievable.
Well, they're actually having wrestling shows, which really surprises me because with the way the numbers are, Oklahoma, they're kind of like in Arkansas, and Arkansas Championship Wrestling, they made a decision that we're not going to do any shows until this settles down or they get a vaccine or something. So it may be a while before I have anything to do with Arkansas Championship Wrestling, but I was just ecstatic when I got to go to wrestling Saturday night. I mean, the bad guys were giving me grief and I was giving them grief right back, and, you know, and it felt so good. It felt so good.
Nobody but our little group of friends knows what that means, Granny. But we
That's
all know.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's exactly right. Now, let's let you get a plug. What is your podcast that you're going to be co-hosting
it's
here
called,
in a few minutes?
It's called Attitude Era Live. And, you know, not only do we talk to independent wrestlers, but we talk to actors and directors and singers. I mean, we've had people like Byron Cherry on our show that used to play Coy Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard. We've had, oh my goodness, TV stars. You know, we've had just, we not only, I mean, we talk to all sorts of people, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds
great. It's a
great
time,
well,
so.
Well, we're glad
you called
in.
I'd rather be hanging out with you all, though. You know? I mean, I love
You're
my podcast, but I'd rather. Hey, in my opinion, I can, you know, say I enjoy helping them out. I really do, but I like being on with you all too. It's, you know, y'all are my family too, you know. So.
Well, we appreciate very much, and thanks for calling in and giving Stro a greeting as we're featuring his great accomplishments, and we.
Well, real
about
quick,
Papa
I mean,
Stro.
I want to, you know, I want to throw my little question in there. What are some of your favorite memories, and I'm sure you had some favorite memories, Stro, with Tommy Dreamer and Hacksaw Jim Duggan? What were some of your favorite memories of them, of those two hanging around with you?
Well, playing chopsticks on the piano with Hacksaw Nitro was some fun. That was it was a blast. Hacksaw was always great. I love Hacksaw.
I love Hacksaw.
And
he's awesome.
And Tommy Dreamer, we were at a Hall of Fame thing one time, and I get to hang out with Tommy at the UCW. And between the jokes that him and Al Snow were doing at the Hall of Fame, oh my gosh, it was hysterical. I think one time Tommy Dreamer and Al was getting together, and they were reciting Chris Farley's the lines on the movie Tommy Boy when they're doing the acceptance speech. It was pretty hilarious.
I bet. Yeah, I know we got to have dinner with Tommy Dreamer down in Nashville after a TCW show. We were all at a Waffle House, and he was sitting there, and he'd gotten the pork chop breakfast with the grits and, you know, and stuff. And he said, Granny, are you still hungry? I'm getting kind of full. So he gave us his toast and grits. It was funny. Of course, we've had dinner with Hacksaw before. We had dinner with Hacksaw at a pizza place one time in Harrison, Arkansas. So it's always good times when you're hanging around Duggan and Tommy Dreamer.
Raven and Tommy Dreamer told me a really funny story about one time where they were, like, having a match. And they're going up the bleachers, and they had this idea of swinging from the gym ropes. They had the gym ropes where you climb the ropes in the high school gyms. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where, Raven climbed up the rope, right? And swung like Tarzan and gave Tommy a form, right? And then Tommy was like, okay, it's my turn, right? So he goes to grab the other rope, but he didn't realize the other rope was shorter, much shorter than the one Raven was on.
So
he tried to swing it, and it looked like he just limp wrist to the Raven on the back, and Raven was just like dying laughing.
Oh, no.
That was hysterical.
But it was fun. It was fun. And that's what mattered. Well, that's great.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah, they got a good laugh off it.
Exactly. Well, that's a good question, Granny. Thanks. And I want to go now. Robin, do you have a question from Papa Stro from any of his walks of life? And then we're going to hit up Devin. So, Robin, what kind of a question do you have for Papa Stro?
Well, it wasn't really a question. I was curious about the whole Dorothy thing with her movie debut. But you took care of that. No, I just want to say that I really... You know, you look at the wrestlers and you see these guys out there. I mean, or I always did, because my kids were heavy into, you know, the wrestling scene. I mean, that was a huge thing. We had, of course, we had to do all the, you know, buy all the paraphernalia and the jackets. And I mean, it was just a huge thing in our house. But you see them on TV and it doesn't really give you the insight to what really a family those guys are. Like, you know, they get out of that ring, they get off of that stage, and they're brothers. I'm just really impressed by that.
Oh yeah, we're just a big family. All the lady wrestlers, they're like we're sisters, and all the guys are like brothers. It's like I said, it's one big family.
Yeah, and it's just, you don't realize it how much they're like that, you know, just by watching the shows. So I always enjoy it when you're talking about how this one helped this one, and this one helped this one. I just think that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's all over the world. So it's like it brings makes the world a much smaller place. So we all keep in touch from time to time too. It's really nice to have, you know, to have that kind of connection.
Yeah.
Papa Stro, I got a story about you and the camaraderie that you guys had. And this came from Dorton Arena up there in Raleigh, because when we ran Steampunk Mid-Atlantic and some Comic-Cons over there at the Ramada Inn, there was this really nice lady named Cindy who had started out as a waitress and is now the general manager. And she said that when wrestling was over at Dorton Arena, didn't you do that on, what, Tuesday or Wednesday nights in Raleigh?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and that all of you guys would be in there in the Ramada Inn eating and everything. She said that was the nicest bunch of folks, and everybody was having such a great time with each other. Even the bad guys and the good guys were hanging out. She was so impressed. You remember her statement to that effect, Papa Stro?
Oh yeah, I sure do. I mean, we did the same thing in Memphis in the Mid-South area. We would do Monday nights in the Mid-South Coliseum, then Tuesday nights Louisville Gardens in Louisville, then somewhere in Indiana, and then we would switch up between Mississippi and Arkansas, like Thursday and Friday nights, and then no matter where the heck we're at in the country, we had to be at Memphis TV, 9 o'clock in the morning, Channel 5. So we're all like dragging Saturday morning. Yeah,
I'm sure
we're going to do like four cars. During that time, going through 3 or 4 cars, between all the traveling I was doing, it was nuts.
Wow!
But it was a great learning experience and travel, seeing the world, and not just the U.S., but like going overseas, different countries. It's been a heck of a ride.
Well, that's great. Well, right now I want to take just a second and thank our network VOC Nation for having us. We are on Friday nights at 11 p.m. 11 p.m. to midnight, and then at midnight comes a very special show every Friday night. Tell us about it, Papa Stro.
Oh, yeah. I have a show every Friday night on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, called The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. And every Friday night, I show a different like feature from horror and sci-fi genre back in the day. And this Friday night's a feature will be none other than The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, starring Don Knotts. So
I love that movie.
Awesome. I remember that.
I made that suggestion, Robin. I made that suggestion to Stro the other day because he had Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein this past Friday night. I said, what about The Ghost and Mr. Chicken? He says, well, I'll have to see if I can find that one, Granny. So I made that suggestion.
That's awesome.
By God, Granny, I found it.
That's great. Well, if you think wrestling's one big happy family, just come on to Scary Cast. Anyway, all thanks to Brady Hicks and VOC Nation. And tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Papa Stro will be on In the Room with Brady Hicks, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on VOCNation.com. Devin Tate, our man from Hollywood. What have you got to say
to
Papa Stro?
Hey, Papa Stro. Yeah, you know, I love how
Devin.
How are you doing? I love how you've been able to, you know, have success both in wrestling and, you know, in acting and hosting. I think that's really admirable. And I think, you know, I know like my friend Hank Garrett, who's been on the show, also was a wrestler an actor. So I think a lot of it is, you know, the natural showmanship that you have, you know, in the ring kind of lends itself to other roles outside of the ring. But I'm curious about, I heard you were in an episode of the WB show One Tree Hill. Is that true? And if so, what was that experience like?
Oh, man, that was great. That was really cool. I was like a security guard. I was playing security guard for like a concert they were having, one of the episodes, right? And everybody was much smaller than I was because it was like a younger audience. it was great. I had such a blast with the cast and crew. And, you know, speaking of that transition, like you said, I had like many influences with that. One I mentioned earlier, Terry Funk, who made that transition from wrestling to film, you know, through his relationship with Sylvester Stallone you know, with the Paradise Alley, Over the Top, and and then he was also in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, right? And the great Pepper Martin, I don't know if you recall, he was also in Superman 2. He was the bully in the diner scene.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, Pepper Martin, he's been in quite a few, he made that transition too from wrestling to acting. And so there were like some of my influences with that. And my original, you know, before I started wrestling at all, I was in theater, right? When I was in Cats, the Broadway play Cats. I was Macbeth. I was the king that got betrayed, Macbeth. A lot of Shakespearean plays. I was a Dodo Bird in Alice in Wonderland. I was Moses in the Ten Commandments. Various roles, right, in theater.
Moses.
So,
all right.
And my my theater teacher could have wrung my neck when I got into wrestling. You know, it was just like, oh, what are you doing? You know, she wanted to be pursue it and, you know, get into acting eventually in film. And so I feel like I come full circle with that. You know what I mean? For the wrestling going back into acting, if you will. And my theater teacher forgave me for being upset with me on wrestling. And even with the wrestling, I was very theatrical, whatever I did, whether it was Gorgeous or the Third, a maestro, whatever. Every persona I had was like very theatrical, one, which I always appreciated the theatrical side of anything, more or less, and storytelling, because I'm all about telling stories. And so to go, you know, hey, say life goes full circle, it really did with me. So, you know, now I'm wrestling and acting. And so it's really great. And I get to have control of my schedule and do that and do other things like, you know, host podcasts. Do commentary, voiceover, all kinds of other stuff in between too. So I've never been one to hate to be born. I've always kind of want to branch out and see what's out there and you know, see what happens. I mean, life's a challenge, so make the most of it, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, that's great. Well, Devin, you're now speaking of someone that does a lot of different things. You are a musician. You're an actor, and you're a comedian, and you did that great CD which had the song with Wendy Ho on it. What a great song! You know, it was just really wonderful. We got a lot of talented people. Well, I mean, everybody on ScaryCast, if you think about it, has got another entertainment gig. Every single one of us. So I mean, it's really kind of fun. We bring a lot from a lot of different places. So. Anyway, now, Granny, you're still here. I'm going to start because I'm going back around with everybody. So I'm going to start with you because I know you got to hit a podcast. You got one question for Stro?
No, I'm good. I'm going to let everybody else ask a question. I'm good, you know. But, you know, you were talking about everybody's talents, you know. I'm just a wrestling fan, you know. Yeah, I do my Moose Lodge thing, but, you know, I'm just a wrestling fan. I'm just Granny. I'm nobody special.
Being the best wrestling
yes,
fan
are.
In Arkansas is a big deal, honey. No,
well,
is, so.
There's lots of good fans in Arkansas and Oklahoma, you know, besides me. So, you know, I do what I do to try to make it fun for everybody, you know.
Yeah. Papa Stro, I got a quick question for you. When you're talking about Oklahoma, there was a wrestler and it may be somebody big and famous, but was always billed as being from Norman, Oklahoma. Who was that? Was that the Briscoes?
Well, they were from Oklahoma, yes, and great amateur wrestlers as well. My mother's from Oklahoma, actually. She's from Tulsa. And another great wrestler from Oklahoma who was All-American in football and wrestling was Dr. Death Steve Williams. One of the toughest men I've ever seen in the business.
Yep.
And one of the strongest, too. I mean, I've seen him do feats of strength. I mean, I've seen him press like 300-some pounders above his head through reps from Terry Bam Bam Gordy to Big Boss Man, back when he was Big Bubba Rogers, to One Man Gang. I mean, it was and then later on, ironically, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy turned out to be one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Oklahoma's just rich with wrestling tradition and heritage.
That's right. And what I like about it, they got a parkway you can drive 85 miles an hour on. I love that.
Isn't Jack Swagger from Oklahoma too, Stro? I think.
Absolutely. And he's a great wrestler in his own right.
Yep. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
I know one of our little WFC kids that we did a show for at one time that deals with cancer. Jack Swagger sent him an autographed picture of himself to Kieran when Kieran was in the hospital over in Oklahoma City. So that was pretty cool. One of their nurses knew Jack Swagger personally, and she contacted Jack, and Jack sent Kieran an autographed photo of him.
Well, that was great. That really was. All right, back to the questions. Which one of our panel wants to go next? I'll take a volunteer so I don't put anybody on the spot. Was that Robin?
I'll go.
Okay.
No, I mean,
that
was a good question. I wanted to know before.
Oh, okay, got you. So I got that one. Sorry. Okay, and then was it Tony that volunteered?
I volunteered.
All right, volunteer.
Dorothy, the premise behind Dorothy you were saying is that she channels like the children that's been wronged in the world, and she, you know, she channels that. And how does she get that across to you so you can go right the wrongs? What, how does that work?
Well, the story of Papa Stroh stems to having his bad things happen to his own family, into which he was left for dead, basically, and in which the souls of lost children pretty much brought him back to life. Be their avenger, to be their champion, to right the wrongs, if you will, and to chase out evil in the world. So
very
that's
cool.
How they got that connection. He's an avenging spirit, more or less. Kind of like you've seen the movie The Crow, right? It's kind of like a more, even more darker version, more darker version of that.
Wow. Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a great storyline for a movie in itself.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get it together, basically, with the right people. So hopefully pretty soon in the future we can make that happen.
Yeah, we've all got a lot of good ideas, and that is for sure one of them, Papa Stroh. Well, thanks,
yeah,
well, if you ever need if you ever need Granny for one of your documentaries or movies or something, I'm volunteering my services right now, Frank, my friend.
Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Free of charge.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, guys, I got to get out of here, but y'all have a great rest of the show, and love y'all, and stay safe, and we'll talk to y'all soon, I hope. So.
Take care.
Absolutely.
Time.
You too. Take
have
care.
A good
love
night, everybody.
See you,
Green. Love y'all
bye.
Too.
Bye bye. Yep. All right,
but
Devin.
That's how they got that connection. You know what I mean? Because you know.
Yep.
Because Papa Stroh had tragedy in his own life, and through that, the souls of lost children saved his life in the process of him being their champion to defend them against the evil in the world. So that's.
I love it. That could be turned into such a great storyline. I mean, it would never get old. I mean, it's a great hood. It is.
And with a good message that could transcend different generations too. It'd be good for any generation.
Yeah, I mean, it would never get old. I mean, it's not like, you know, two or three stories. You're like,
right.
that's just a really good storyline right there.
Mhm.
Well, that's a good one. All right, Devin, you got a question for Papa Stroh?
Yeah, so Papa Stroh, I know you keep busy with everything you're working on, but if you were, you know, given the opportunity to work on one dream project, you know, one project you could kind of control from beginning to end, do you have anything up your sleeve, or what would you do?
Oh, gosh. See, that's just it. I just love being part of a good story with the right character, with the right storyline leading in. I mean, I'm all about good story. So anything I can be a part of that could something special that can make it happen. And, you know, we mentioned some projects that I'm working on personally, but there's also another project I'm secretly working on as we speak that if it goes in fruition and gets with the right people, I think this is really be something special. And that once I get information to release to everybody, I'll surely let you guys know for sure, because if things go like they're going to go, it could be pretty exciting. So I'll definitely keep you guys informed.
That's great. Yeah, I would love to hear about that whenever you can share it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
you'd be the first to know.
Papa Stro, the only thing I'd like to ask, is it a feature-length movie or is it a series, just out of curiosity?
Well, it could be one or the other, actually. So that's the thing. So we're just waiting to see if we get the right support, more or less, for it, and to put our ducks in a row to make it happen. So if it happens, it's gonna be something really, really special, and I'm really excited to tell you guys about it once I'm allowed to.
Well, that's great. Well, all right, and barring Robin having a question, I want you to explain to us, how did the Stro Zone come about?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier on the show, I've always had a deep fascination for old school horror and sci-fi, like Lon Chaney's, the Boris Karloffs, the Vincent Prices, Christopher Lee's, Bela Lugosi's. I mean, the list goes on and on of the old school horror. I mean, that's what I grew up on. I remember the first horror movie I ever saw was Creature from the Black Lagoon years ago. And it was just I was just like fascinated ever since. Now, I was a little kid staying up at night eating donuts, watching horror movies and sci-fi. And so, but yeah, it was just my fascination for that generation, that genre. And I bought something in my bucket list I've always wanted to do. You know, you had The Twilight Zone with Rod Serling, and you had The Crypt Keeper with Tales from the Crypt later on. And it's something, it was like one of my passions to host a horror, an old school horror and sci-fi show. So hence the Stro Zone, right?
Have you thought about trying to take it market that to a television, to a local television outlet or media outlet? Because I had this conversation with John about 3 weeks ago. I think a lot of us grew up watching the shock theater things, and I you know, not just blowing smoke at you, but I really believe you have the persona and to do that. And I think that kids today and older kids like us, you know, that grew up with it, would absolutely love to see something like that, because one of the last ones I see out there is Svengoolie out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I'm all about it. If anyone's interested, yes. Yeah, I'd love to make that happen.
Yeah, those were just really all the rage, starting with Vampira in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yes.
I mean, just, you know, truly, probably the greatest horror host of all time. I think the few clips that still remain where she was doing that in Los Angeles. And I guess she's doing it on that NBC affiliate before they had Carson. And, you know, Carson... And all those great late night shows, because I mean she was on Friday or Saturday night. She was just incredible. And then she got her great acting role in Plan 9 from Outer Space. I mean, just
right.
Could not have been better. But anyway,
you remember the Night Stalker series? Remember the Night Stalker series?
Yes.
Darren McGavin.
Oh, you love that.
I did too, man. I still watch it. I bought the freaking series. I still watch it. It's great. That's even though it just went for like a, what was it, a season or two seasons? But there was two or three movies though, the Night Strangler and the Night Stalker and something else. But I mean, that was a superb series for the '70s. Even today, it's still a great series. It's hard to measure for people to duplicate that.
Absolutely.
You know, horror has had a tough time making it on prime time until it became sci-fi with The X-Files. But real horror, old-fashioned horror like vampires and werewolves, just always seemed to have a tough time on television. But who knows? We're just glad we have what we have. So anyway, in our waning moments, because on VOC Nation, we are Scary Cast, and we're so glad to have our guest Pop Stroh, the Master of Wrestling, and Dorothy. And we had a great time talking to Papa Stroh. And if you're listening to us on Friday night, in about 3 minutes, you will be able to go to Stroh the Maestro on Facebook and listen to the one and only Papa Stroh and Dorothy introduce the Ghost and Mr. Chicken with Donald Knotts. So I got you extra plug in there, Papa Stroh. Yep, we'll do our plugs, and then we'll head on down the road. So we'll do plugs. First of all, Robin, you got anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, my God, where do I start? There's too many. I don't know. I just think this show is fantastic. We cover so much ground in so many different areas. Like, I encourage everybody to check in every week. I'm going to plug us because we have such a diverse subject content in this show. Like, we go from one end of the spectrum to the next, and you never know week to week what it's going to be. So I just encourage everybody to check back in every Monday night.
And I am going to encourage everybody to go to the website exoticcats.org, which is something that Robin's involved in. And you have beautiful exotic cats. Tell us briefly what they are.
I have a very dear friend of mine who was very gracious and kind and asked me to partner with her. And we have exotic cats. Right now we have Maine Coon Savannah crosses that are absolutely incredible. It's like having a dog in a cat body that's little. And they get a little bit bigger than a house cat, but we've got some beautiful ones that are black melanescents where they look like a black leopard. They're solid black with polka dots all over them, like a black leopard would have. And then our other ones are spotted babies. These are what they call an F8 Savannah. And they've got beautiful spots, beautiful markings. They're just exquisite babies. When I first met her because I bought two of her kittens. And they own me and they know it. And then we got to be good friends and decided we both wanted to do this. So we're registered through Tika. And it's been a lot of fun. And these babies are drop-dead gorgeous.
They are.
So right now, due to COVID, we have done a huge price decrease on them right now, and we're selling them for $400 apiece, and they are all here at my house. They're doing fantastic. They've been wormed. They play, they eat, they potty in the litter box, and they get their shots this week, and then they will be ready to go. And then we have a transport service that we work with so they can be shipped anywhere. So they're just phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, I have domestic cats, too, and I love my domestics, but they can't even come close to the personality on these exotics. I mean, they own you. They really do. It's a riot. My whole house has been turned upside down by them just because the personality. You know, I mean, you can teach them to fetch. You can teach them to do anything. So, and they're beautiful on top of it. Absolutely gorgeous.
I wanted to make sure you got that plug in, Robin. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, sweetie. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
And Tony Filosi, what have you got to plug?
Check out the Manzo Shepherd story on Amazon Prime, or you can order the book off Amazon Prime. But I'm like Robin. I think that I'm going to plug us because the diversity that we bring on to any subject is just really good, you know. And I want to plug Papa Stroh's Dust series, and I just shared it on Facebook, and I would encourage everyone to share Papa Stroh's Dust series on Facebook.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you so much.